It's time for Middletown Blue Raider football on WMSS. Today's game is brought to you in part by Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory, Michelle's Creations with you in mind, Middletown Pharmacy, Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, JD's Junction, Gingrich Memorials, the Middletown Home, with kids in mind, J&J Pizzeria, DHL, Tim Clouser Remax Realty Select, Brownstone Cafe, Jack's Auto Sales, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, the Black Horse Tavern, S&H Screen Printing and Awards, and the Hetrick Center. Now let's take it out to the game with the WNSS Sports Crew.
Everyone, and welcome to Middletown's War Memorial Field for the final week of the regular season. Here as the 9-0 Middletown Blue Raiders try to complete a perfect regular season against their old nemesis, the 3-6 Steel High Rollers, who are actually fighting still to get into the District 3 single A playoff, but really the championship game, because only two teams make it in single A, and the Rollers are alive with a win tonight, or even with a loss here against Middletown tonight. But for Middletown, pretty much the number one seed is wrapped up. You would expect Middletown to win this game. They're a heavy favorite here tonight, and they will certainly be one of the top two seeds, and they will play here at War Memorial Field next week in the opening round of the District 3 AAA playoffs. But they want to get this perfect season into the books. Seven other Middletown teams have done it. They are looking to become number eight here tonight. We'll take time out when we come back. Our Brian Kaiser will talk to Middletown head coach Brett Myers. Again, it is Middletown and Steel High back after this on the Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder, not just another funeral home.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of cards, collectibles, Yankee candles, and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
Brian Kaiser back on the pregame show alongside of Middletown head football coach Brett Myers. Coach, let's just talk about last week's game with Milton Hershey. You have to be absolutely ecstatic about how the team performed, how they played in a pressure situation, a game for essentially the division title, and a game where your team just brought it from the very beginning. Yeah, it was good to see us in a situation playing against a team that is considered by many people to be a very, very good football team. Our players came out prepared, and you could tell that they put in the work in the week prior, practice-wise and film study-wise and game plan-wise. And, you know, with the ability that some of them have, it was pretty clear that they were ready to play last week, and, you know, I'm thankful for that.
What is it about this team that it seems like every big game that the team has had, this team just seems to come out and is ready to go from the very beginning of the game?
They like to play. And when you add that little bit of excitement that, you know, our town provides when big games come, they just rise up to it because they enjoy playing, and they enjoy playing for each other. If you got a chance to hear some of the interviews after the game, you could see where our guys are as a group, that they really, really try to take care of each other, and they really respect each other's abilities. And with that, you know, on big games, they're willing to put the team first. And when you have that kind of talented players that do things like that, usually there's good results that come.
You mentioned the town and the support from the town, and it is very obvious right now that this Middletown community is even more so than usual. But I mean, it's usually a very, very supportive group, but everybody's coming out of the woodwork right now to support this team. How important is that to the team and to the town itself?
Well, you got to really, really appreciate that as players and as coaches. You get to see, you know, the kind of support and how important football is to the community, and it's really nice to see. And all our players appreciate it, the coaches appreciate it, and, you know, I think the fans appreciate the way our kids are playing. And in the end, that's our goal. We don't talk about wins or losses or points on the scoreboard. We talk about playing at a certain level that people from town would expect, and I think this group has come pretty close to meeting those expectations.
Well, you're not going to talk wins or losses, but I will, because the team's 9-0 at this point. Potential for a perfect regular season. It's a game coming up against Steel High, which is the ultimate letdown game in many ways, because it's a game after a huge game against Milton Hershey. Any reason to think that we could see a little bit of a letdown this week?
First, with this group that we have of seniors and leaders, we would not expect a letdown because, of like I talked about earlier, they really enjoy to play, and they enjoy playing for each other, and they have high expectations of themselves to meet a standard that they believe Middletown football is. But our schedule helps a little bit by being lucky enough to have a team like Steel High following a big game, which adds a little bit to it, considering this group hasn't beaten Steel High. And the traditional rival that Steel High is, it adds to the night, and it makes it a little bit easier for to have a good week of focused practice.
What is it about Steel High that's been such an issue over the last few years? Because it's a team, single A enrollment, but still a team that has that championship pedigree in its background.
Well, without a doubt, you know, they have a tradition there of winning. And if you look at, you know, last year, it was self-inflicted wounds that we had. And, you know, I think we've cleaned that up over this year of being a little bit more disciplined and handling things. And, you know, it's usually more about us than about the other team. And I would expect tonight to be no different, good or bad. We will determine the outcome.
Last question's about the seniors, because it's a special night for them. It's senior night, and even though there'll be a home playoff game next week, this is the last home regular season game, and you get to recognize an outstanding group of seniors. As a former player yourself, you can definitely appreciate and speak to the emotions that go through a player on their senior night.
Yeah, without a doubt. We have a special venue in Memorial Field that our kids really appreciate, the type of field and facility they have down there, and they realize it's a special place where a lot of special players have played in the past. And, you know, tonight will be their end of their regular season and their last opportunity to play a regular season game there, and they'll take that very serious, as many players before them have.
Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thanks, Brian.
Middletown head football coach Brett Myers back with more after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials in Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, pet markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
The Middletown Home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown Home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown Home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351, the Middletown Home, where they serve from the heart.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We are DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
Welcome back to Middletown's War Memorial Field. Steve Lee, John Wilsbach here in the press box as the 9-0 Middletown Blue Raiders take on the 3-6 Steel High Rollers tonight. And John, if you want, if there's a team and a school that you want to come in here on the last week to try to, you know, try to cap off a perfect season in the history of Middletown sports, this ain't the team you want to have come in here.
Well, you know, Steel High has traditionally, over all the years of football, and you get some of these old-timers down here and talk to them from the 50s, 60s, even the 70s. You know, Middletown has always had problems with Steel High. And going back into, the 80s, you know, there were only a couple wins there. The Steel High has, for some reason, had some dominating mystic power over Middletown for years. Now, granted, we have won, you know, some games here in the last 20, 30 years against Steel High. But it's always a big game for them, and their quickness and athleticism has always given us fits for some reason. Now, with that being said, this Middletown team, and I've said it over and over all season, is different. And this Middletown team has its own quickness and athleticism that we have not seen in many, many, many years. In fact, when we were leaving the Milton Hershey game last week, Steve and I were talking to one of the Milton Hershey officials still up in the press box. And his comment to us was, you know, every time a team comes in here, I always see Milton Hershey out quick. Everyone, they're the fastest team out there. They run past everyone. You guys are faster. You guys are quicker and more athletic, and it shows. This is that type of a team, and I don't think, you know, leading into this, that Steel High has that opportunity like they've had in years past to win this game. This Middletown team is so dominant right now.
Yeah, Middletown's certainly a heavy favorite in this game here tonight. Over the course of the history against Steel High, Steel and High Spire, Middletown is 8-13-1 against Steel High. First game was in 1960. It was a 19-19 tie. But after that, Steel High won I don't know how many until Middletown won the first one in 1984, 28-7. The Rollers have won the last four games in this series. Middletown's last win was a 14-13 win. I believe that was up at Cottage Hill.
Yeah.
So this group of seniors here have not beaten the Rollers on the field in varsity football ever. So they'll get a chance to, you can say, right that wrong here tonight and try to become the eighth undefeated team in Middletown football history. course, the other tidbit of that, what's the record of Middletown undefeated regular season teams in the playoffs?
Of Middletown undefeated teams that go to the playoffs?
Yep.
Well, that would have been, obviously, the 99-2000. And, let's see, it wasn't 88. It wasn't 86.
It was 89.
It was 89, lost to E-Town.
Yep. And the answer is?
In the first round.
0-3. Hmm. Middletown undefeated team has never won a playoff game.
That's a good point.
So we'll hopefully get to talk about that next week. Again, Middletown's pretty much locked into one of the top two seeds there in District 3. I didn't do the math because it's all that opponent's winning percentage stuff, and I don't think Middletown can, even with a loss here, get below Wyomissing, but they might, but I didn't bother figuring that out.
But on the other side of things, Steve, because we have in the past, when Middletown didn't make playoffs, we've also been a friend of the Steel High family, and Steel High still has a small chance.
They do, even with losing here tonight. If they win tonight, they're going to be in.
They're in, right, If they lose, they still have a chance.
Right. If they lose tonight, they need to watch two scores on the scoreboard. One being the Mid-Penn Conference member, at least for tonight, James Buchanan, since they decided to exit Mid-Penn in football.
We know they'll lose
for next year. Well, maybe. Steel High needs Greencastle Antrim to beat them.
They will.
Greencastle Antrim is 1-8 on the season, but yes, Greencastle Antrim is a heavy favorite in that game. The other game is Dover at Susquehannock. Susquehannock at Dover. Steel High needs Dover to win because they played Dover.
Okay.
And that's a battle of 3-6 teams.
Huh.
So if those two results happen, Greencastle Antrim over JV and Dover beat Susquehannock, they're just barely going to outpoint Fairfield in the single A rankings, and they'll play for a district championship next week with a record of 3-7.
Yeah.
Gotta love the six classification system where in District 3 there are five teams in single A. That makes it a little unbalanced, but there's a couple other big games going on tonight. Central Dauphin State College.
And that's on our other internet streaming here on WMSSFM.com, and we'll have regular updates of that game too.
Yeah. That's a big one. CD looking to break State College's unbeaten season. Of course, State College is a Mid-Penn team, but they're in District 6. And CD right now has a stranglehold on the top spot in the District 3 6A playoffs. We're going to take time out as we will shortly have the national anthem. And then we'll be back for the start of this ball game. It is Middletown and Steel High. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up homestyle meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown. Open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage, offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike, on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363, or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
CNE Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. CNE Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's CNE Lawn Care and Landscaping, 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and are home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder, not just another funeral home.
And welcome back to Middletown's War Memorial Field. Steve Leedy, John Wilsbach, Tamar Parker, Owen Ederer back at our WMSS studios here this evening as the captains will meet at midfield between Middletown and Steele High again. Middletown 9-0 en route to the District 3 AAA playoffs next week. And again, Middletown will be playing at home next week because they certainly will be one of the top two seeds, very likely the top seed.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the days we used to always have to play the neutral games or whatever.
Yeah.
And you get to play a home game for the playoffs. That's nice.
And again, Steele High, still alive, still in the mix.
I'll tell you, you know, I'm disappointed in their crowd on the far side. They may have had a 3-6 season off to a very slow start, but this team has a chance to make single-A playoffs where they belong. They're a single-A school. It's a small, you know, community of Highspire and Steelton, and you don't have many guys on the team, but yet they can battle with other single-A teams. That's the thing. So, you know, I hope that, you know, things go well for them in this game. I should say in other games that they're able to get into single A.
Yeah, and they would, if they would qualify for the District 3 championship game, which would be next week, they would play Halifax, who will be the number one seed in the single A district championship
game. How many times have we seen those battles over the years?
Yeah.
Them and Halifax. Well, Middletown's wearing the blue jerseys, gold pants. Everyone honored tonight, senior night, before the game, the band, football players, cheerleaders. A great crowd here for the Middletown side. It is packed and standing down in the end zones. The other side, you know, they can go take up a few bleachers on the opposing side if they want to. Well, Steele High is lining up like they're going to keep it on the far hash and go with a short squib onside type kick. Raiders better move over. Look at the coaches. They're yelling out, like, move up. You want to act like hands on this one.
Nick Neilinger is the kicker for Steele High. He will put the boot to it. Now they'll come out full span of the field. Mills, Fox, Thompson, back deep for Middletown. And the final game of the regular season is underway. It is a squibber. It will be taken at the 38-yard line. And Middletown will just fall on it. That was Malik Noon, who will get Middletown underway.
And you want that. You want good hands out there. Noon showing as a tight end that he can catch the football right there. Squibber bounces right towards him. Doesn't bounce off the chest, the face mask, or anything. He grabs it into the body, falls right down on it. And that's what you want. You start off in great field position at your own 39.
First and 10 for Middletown, and it looks like Middletown's taking a long time to get players in the game, but that's okay. They've still got 18 seconds on the clock. Coach Myers a little upset, everybody getting into the game on time, but they got plenty of time here. Slot left, wide right, Fox in the backfield with Snavely. Mills across the formation. It is going to be a fake to him. Snavely looking to throw, looking down the middle, caught, and it is going to be a first down to the 45-yard line of Steel High. Is that Plummer? That is Plummer making the catch.
And Chris Plummer, one of those guys that really stepped in nicely into the role of wide receiver with several others early in this season, and now needs to pick up the pace, needs to get a few more looks with Hughes being out with that broken collarbone.
Three receivers in a bunch to the right side of the formation. Handoff going to go to Fox. He cuts back, has a hole, 40, 35, 30, still carrying a player on his back all the way down to the 25-yard line, a gain of 20.
Now let me tell you who he was following early on. It was Tom Staker to that right side, and he followed him initially, and then finally after Staker had to pull off to the right side and clear out his man, then he decided he was going to go to the left of him and take off for a few more.
And the guys up front, Trey Michael, Griffin Radabaugh, Douglas, Staker, and Newton. That's what makes this team go. Handoff goes up the middle, not much.
Number seven.
On the first carry of the game for Jalen Thompson, Middletown's all-time leading rusher. Accomplished that last week. Gets one here.
At the 23-yard line where it'll be second down.
And I know the Raiders would like to get this one up big, get some of these guys rested again. Don't need any injuries. You're headed into the playoffs.
Second down and nine. We'll call it second down and eight. We'll give him two on that last carry. From the 23-yard line, Snavely takes the snap, rolling to the right. We'll throw out into the flat. That is caught. Lopez, the man missed, and will be tackled down to about the 10-yard line. Well, first down for Middletown on the reception by Lopez.
Jose Lopez, a 6'2". They list him as 6'2". I don't think he's that tall.
I don't think he's that tall.
No, but he's a freshman. And, you know, we saw a little action of him here and there each game and getting more and more as the season has gone on as a freshman. What a joy he is to start watching.
The first and goal at the 10, Snavely. We'll hand it off, and it is going to be Fox going to the left, but Steel High does a good job stringing that out, and he's going to be tackled after a gain of just one to the nine.
Well, a lot of people are still funneling in here. The traffic's been horrible in this Middletown area lately. They have 283 East at Vine Street. Just after that, they had to do that work on the Newberry Road overpass since a truck hit it a few months ago. So they took out the right lane, so everybody comes into Middletown, and that backs it up.
Two receivers to the right, handoff, counter, backside. It's going to be Thompson, and he is walking in, standing up. JT, 7-9-yard touchdown run, and Middletown leads 6-0.
Shakir Johns was the only one over there. Saw him come and started angling for the corner, and then Thompson just threw the shoulder back the other way and then cut back to the inside, and that was it. Untouched. Thompson breaking the all-time rushing record last week in Milton Hershey, becoming the all-time leading rusher in Middletown history.
Donovan Brady in for the extra point. There's the snap, the hold, the kick. It's on the way. It is good. We'll take timeout. 10:01 left to play in the first quarter. Middletown 7, Steel High nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home for Raiders Sports Network.
Michelle's Creations with you in mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with you in mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with you in mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Wow. Welcome back to Middletown's War Memorial Field. 7-0 Middletown with a six-play drive that went 61 yards and took a minute 58 seconds off the clock. And the Raiders cap it off with a 9-yard touchdown run by Jalen Thompson, who I guess in the friendly competition you can say between him and Brady Fox, he's taking the lead now, 15 touchdowns to 14 touchdowns on the year.
They've been having a fun year.
So Brady will tee it up, and it will be a high short kick. It's going to be mishandled. It's loose on the turf, and it's going to be picked up by Steele High. That was Deshaun Ramsey who fell on it. That was one of those high short kicks.
Yeah.
It looked like nobody called for a fair catch.
I don't think they realize they can do that. Well, the Raiders are off to a hot start. Look how much this season, Steve, out of the gates. Raiders just scoring. I'd like to go back and look at some point, first series this season.
Stephen Pryor is the quarterback for the Rollers. He will hand it off. That is going to be Jarve Flowers who gets the give, trying to go to the left side. He'll push his way for a couple yards, give him 4 yards out to the 35.
Always has been a tough, bitter rivalry between these two schools. I think in recent years, I think both have grown to have some more appreciation for each other, and especially since the numbers have started to really differentiate on, you know, how many, you know, the numbers have dropped for Steele and High Spire School District as far as how many people go there, but it's still always a big rivalry.
Second down and 6 man in motion to the left side. It's going to be a handoff. Flowers, he makes a man miss in the backfield, heading to the sideline. He's going to be knocked out by Jonah McCoy for Middletown. Gain of about two.
You're talking about two teams there last week with Milton Hershey and Steele High this week. And this is, I think, kind of how Coach Myers enjoys ending the season. Two tough competitors who have good speed, good athleticism to test this Middletown team, give them a few more different looks, try to get them adjusting more in games, because when playoffs come around, you've got to utilize all those skills that you practiced and did during the regular season.
Deshaun Ramsey is the fullback. Flowers the tailback on third down and 4. Pryor, handoff. Flowers, he'll cut back, and he tries to stretch for the first down, but he's going to be a couple yards short. So he gets 8 yards on 3 carries, and it will be a fourth down and 2.
Well, I tell you, we had those scares there late last week at the end of the games with Thompson getting up, kind of hobbling off the field a little bit, and then McCoy a little slow getting up right near the end of the game. All back, all fine. Now Middletown needs a timeout. They're missing personnel. Coach Myers not happy about that.
Timeout, Middletown.
The timeout will step out as well. 8:04 left to play first quarter. It is Middletown 7, Steele High nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles, and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Eight oh four left to play in the first quarter. 7-0 Middletown with the lead. Nick Neidlinger back to kick. You always got to watch out though, because Jarve Flowers is the guy back there, the last protector. So you always got to be wary of a quick snap to him. But it will go back to Neidlinger here, and he'll boot it away. Tyre Mills will run under it at the 29-yard line. Doubles back, comes back over to the left side, has some blockers over here, gets to the sideline, and he is going to be tackled right across midfield. And I think there's a flag on the field.
Jonah McCoy wiped out one of the Steele High players, and everyone thought it was a clean hit. I don't know if they're going to try to call like a personal foul targeting on this, because they, I want to say, blindsided him. It was still a clean hit, but he wiped out one of the Rollers. And Brett Myers is talking to the official right now about it. He's not too happy about the call.
Time to put the flags
They'll call it probably a personal foul here. Yep.
Well, I get some groans from the Middletown crowd, at least.
Well, to give the offense more yardage, that's all we need.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah, Middletown doesn't matter if they're on the 5 or the 10. They can move the football.
They can move it and score from anywhere.
Yep.
Thompson in the backfield along with Snavely, and Fox is way behind him. Now he goes out into motion. It's going to be Snavely dropping back, looking to throw, and will hit as Lopez slips to the turf. Doinks right off of his helmet, incomplete.
Yeah, and the thing was, he had Fox out there doing that little flare-out pattern if he wanted to throw the lateral to him. And no one was really covering him. Could have done that. Instead decided to go a little more upfield to Lopez, who had the slip.
Second down and 10, Middletown of their own 22-yard line. 7-0 Raiders as Snavely. We'll have Fox to his right in the backfield. Fox comes across, gets the handoff, will cut up, 25, and tackled just shy of the 30-yard line. That's a gain of about 7 yards. It'll be third down at 3.
On WMSSFM.com, our alternate stream, Central Dolphin leading State College 3-0. With 6:17 to go in the first quarter.
That's a great game there. CD 8-1, State College 9-0 on the season. Third down and 3 for Middletown here with Snavely, shotgun, Fox standing to his right in the backfield. Two receivers out to the right side of the formation. Lopez in motion to the left. Now Snavely looks back over at the sideline. Has plenty of time. Still 15 on the play clock. Will adjust. Now will take the snap. High one. Hands it off. Fox, big hole right side. Cuts back. 40. 45 and tackled into steel high territory at the 49-yard line. That is a gain of 22 for Brady Fox.
Again, following those lead blockers. And I think it was Vajay Lee who had a chance to get at him and, you know, found one of the big boys up front just blasting right into him and taking him out for that 1 second to allow Fox to go by.
49-yard line of steel high. Play fake. Snavely looking deep. Mills is there. Makes the catch. 35 gets around the first man and gets caught from behind at the 20-yard line. A gain of 29 to Tyre Mills.
Only problem there was Snavely was a little late to him. Mills was wide open. Had to put his arm up like, let it go, let it go. He had to wait for it. Shrug off one man, but by then steel high able to catch back up. But still, good pass. Nice route. We know Mills is explosive, don't we?
By the way, good news for steel high. Greencastle Antrim already up 14-0 on James Buchanan.
Yeah, James Buchanan, farewell. They're leaving the Mid-Penn Conference. They're going to go to an independent schedule. They'll probably put Carson Long on their schedule 5 times.
And off to Thompson going up the middle, spinning around, and he'll get tackled after a gain of 5. I think James Buchanan's going to start playing small schools like from West Virginia. From
the Maryland. Goddard School?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Kinder care? Boy, they've had it rough down here.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fun to make fun of you, Jimmy Buck. We're sorry. We've done some games down there, and we enjoyed it, and everyone was very nice to us down there. But you could tell they're just suffering year after year of not being able to build that football program up. That's in Mercersburg down the south central part of Franklin County.
Second and 5, make it 4 for Middletown at the 15-yard line. Lopez in motion, handoff, goes to Thompson, bounces off, left side, 10, 5, touchdown. Dalen Thompson's second touchdown run of the evening, and it's 13-0 Raiders. This is a 15-yard run.
You know, last week we interviewed Jalen Thompson after the Middletown game, after he became the all-time leading rusher in Middletown history, and we were out on the field. We had a picture taken with him, Rodney Ramsey, and also Coach Myers, and the team waited underneath the stadium there. They didn't go back to the locker room, waited for the interviews and the pictures to be done, and as Thompson came back towards them, they were all hooping, hollering, they were cheering, and the first one that came down the stairs to him was Brady Fox, the junior, gave him a big bear hug of congratulations, and then he got swamped by the rest of his team in congratulatory celebration, and Thompson already putting 2 on the board.
Extra point by Donovan Brady, up and good. We'll take timeout. 5:18 left to play first quarter. Middletown 14, steal high. Nothing back after this on the Fager Finkelbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network. The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor. To Jalen Thompson, touchdowns for Middletown, and it's 14-0 as Brady will boot it. It's another high kick. This time, the fair catch is called for and made by Marcellus Coleman over on the far sideline. He must have got the instructions from head coach Andrew Irby and say, hey, if they do that, you can call a fair catch.
And I wonder if on the part of Donovan Brady, if that's also being called for. Keep it to the up back, keep it very high and short, because he's done two of the same kicks now.
You basically eliminate the threat of any return if you do that. And depending on who you play down the road.
And how often did we see that early in the season with teams trying to keep it away from Mills of Middletown?
Flowers, the deep man here, Pryor, will play fake, looking to throw. Will throw on the run, and it's going to be incomplete. He overthrew Jelani Isom, who's a 6'6 target out there. He's a junior, but it was thrown too high and incomplete.
Yeah, Mills was coming in, too. Mills thought he might have had a chance of hopping in front and pulling it in like he did at Milton Hershey last week. But you've also got to watch, because he had overcommitted and had the catch been made by Steele High, no one was there to make the tackle then.
Pryor, the stats I have on him, I'm not sure if they're complete. 10 for 24, 141 yards. I do know that they like to keep it on the ground with Flowers as much as they can. And he'll get the handoff here, and he will be destroyed.
Oh.
Hunter Landis, hello.
Man, someone either missed the block or Landis blew somebody else off at the line. That ball was handed off in the backfield, and Landis was there to... Yeah, but bury him, dig a grave, tattoo him, you name it. Hunter Landis started this season missing game one, right? Because he had that injury.
Yeah.
How quickly we forget that. And brought him back nice and slow, and he was back into the groove, really, I think, by week three.
Yeah, him and Jacoby have just been a nightmare at the linebacker position for this Middletown team. Third down and 13, Pryor in shotgun this time. Two receivers left, one to the right. Looking to throw, looking deep down the middle. He's going to find Tyre Mills, who makes the interception at the 48. Cross midfield, 40, 35. He's going to be bumped. Nope, he's going to stay in the field of play and be ripped down at the 32-yard line. And he is still down. He got
body slammed by Randolph. 6'2", 290-pound tackle. That's a big dude. He just wrapped him up and ripped him down. You don't want him injured.
Yeah, Mills is down, and the way he got thrown around, you think it's hopefully nothing more than just a bump on the shoulder, maybe. And he's coming out. He's swinging both of his arms, it looks like. But he's coming over. It looks like he has full use of all of his
And there was a flag against Steele High on that, on that play, but declined, obviously, as the Raiders get it back.
So first and 10 for Middletown at the 32-yard line of Steele High. Handoff goes to Fox. Cuts back to the middle. And he'll be still on his feet. Still going sideways. And he'll finally...
Oh, there's a pile on.
Yep,
and there's your flag. Yep.
Number 34, 35 for the carry.
Flag blue.
Flag after the play.
Fox, they continue to take him back and purposely then try to tackle him after the whistles, and then someone also came in late and landed on his head. He got up and immediately ran away from the pile just to get out of that, and a personal foul against the Raiders. So Steele High's got to keep their composure here.
Against the Rollers,
the Rollers.
Get him off the field!
So that should take it down to around the 14-yard line after the penalty. And Middletown will have first down and 10. Well,
we always joke about a lot of the Middletowners. You know, there's a lot of Steele High women married to Middletown men, Middletown women married to Steele High guys. You got a lot of cross rivalry going on here in families as well who battled out. You wonder which side they're sitting on. But it's always fun talking to those folks who have an allegiance in some way to both schools.
Andrew Irby is out talking to the official here. As the ball's marked at the 14-yard line, but the officials aren't getting the Raiders. They're not letting the Raiders get down there. They're lined up like back at the 28-yard line.
Yeah, still waiting. Okay, we're going to keep an eye on a lot of the scores tonight, folks. A lot of games, playoff implications, and, of course, Middletown's a triple-A school. Steel High's a single-A school. Middletown keeping an eye on Wyomissing, on Vermilion Springs, Littlestown.
You won't be keeping an eye on Wyomissing tonight.
No?
They play tomorrow.
Thank you.
They play Berks Catholic.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
They are underdogs in that game by far. So Middletown has it first and 10 here at the 14-yard line.
We'll run all that down at halftime, talk about it.
After the penalty, handoff goes to Fox, going left, cuts back, 15. Flag thrown at the corner, probably going to be a hold against Middletown. And you have an extra flag thrown in. I was wondering if they were going to throw that. This might be a late block against Middletown. That was the last action on the play. So Middletown's got a hold, and they might have a late hit as well here.
You go back to a lot of those games, especially in the 70s and even the 80s, always packed over here. You always had a little extra security. Never knew what was going to go on in the stands, out on the field, behind the field. I mean, it's been a long, good, hard rivalry with these two schools.
So this is a hold against Middletown and then a late hit against Middletown. I think the coaching staffs on both sides now have to kind of get things under control. And the officials here are calling a representative from both sides up and talking to both of the players. Like, hey, you guys need to calm down here.
Yeah, exactly. And the 40-yard line. These two teams will face each other in basketball twice. In basketball, now one thing they've done the last couple of years in basketball is they play the varsity girls and boys back to back at the same site instead of girls away, boys home, and vice versa. And they've gotten away from that this year. So when the boys are away, it's the boys JV and boys varsity, while the girls are home with that. But these two teams, a lot of the players, I'm sure, will see each other again in basketball season.
So it's first and 36 for Middletown after all of that. Three receivers to the right side. Snavely looking to throw, in some trouble. Has to get away from the pressure. Rolls. Now throws on the run. Back middle of the field. It's caught at the 20-yard line. That's Plummer making the catch at the 20. And that's over half of what Middletown needed.
Nice fake by Snavely in the back. Get rid of the man charging in on the far side. I think that was Tim Cater. Got past him, had room. Plummer was coming across the field to that right side of the field, got himself open again. Great look. You know, Snavely keeps that composure as he's looking upfield and also making sure that he's not about to get blindsided.
Wide outs to either side. Mills one side, Lopez the other. Thompson switches sides. He's on the left of Snavely in the backfield. There's the snap. Play fake. Snavely looking to throw. Throws over to Mills, trying to set up that bubble screen. Makes the catch. 15-5. Touchdown. Thayer Mills, 20-yard touchdown reception. It is 20-0 Middletown. That's the 8th receiving touchdown for Thayer Mills and the 12th passing touchdown for Chase Snavely.
You know, what I like is when Middletown completes that pass or makes that one running play, you always see the guys in front making their blocks. Something sometimes in college, and especially the NFL, the wide receivers you'll see just kind of standing around not doing anything. Everyone's hitting someone.
Brady in for the PAT, and this one is yanked to the left side, so the extra point is no good. We'll take timeout. 2:34 left to play. First quarter, Middletown 20, Steel High nothing. Back after this on the Faker Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raiders Sports Network.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
.234 left in the opening quarter here from Middletown's War Memorial Field, and the unbeaten Middletown Blue Raiders lead 20-0 over Steel High. That was a four-play, 32-yard drive set up by the Mills interception and capped off by the Tyre Mills touchdown of 20 yards.
Well, I see it setting up an eventual two-point conversion before halftime at the rate we're going.
Mm-hmm. Quite possibly. So here comes Brady to kick it. This is going to be a deep boot left side. This is going to go all the way back to the end zone, and it's going to be a touchback. So they faked everybody out with the first couple kickoffs, and short into the right side. This was a bomb to the left and got into the end zone. Bounced at about the 3-yard line, but just got enough to get into the end zone.
Middletown. Still missing a couple players, Ryan Hughes and Corbin Stetler, both with broken collarbones. And tell you, Middletown has replaced them well, but they're still missed out there on the field. And I'll tell you a little bit more about those injuries as we get now a late flag. Illegal substitution?
Yep.
Against Steel High. But Corbin Stetler is the day before districts, the district championship, will get an x-ray and see the doctor about possibly playing. Well, no, will he play that day? Possibly not. But he should be possibly available for the first round of states.
That would be certainly a boost.
Another
body,
boost, yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
First down and 15 after the penalty. Fryer under center. Flowers the deep man in the eye. He'll get the handoff, trying to go to the left. Flag is thrown. And
number two, Darby Flowers with a carry.
Let's see what the flag is. Probably going to be a hold, and it is.
Penalty.
We did see Zymir Pittman and Griffin Radabaugh had a big collision there.
Yeah.
But it was good to see Pittman help Radabaugh up after the play. So hopefully it's kind of simmered down between these two teams.
Well, Ron Woody almost on his tackle almost looked like he was going to body slam. And these guys are all hitting both sides. You know, they want a piece of each other, but again, Middletown right now dominating this game.
We'll see where this looks like the hold will take place at the 10-yard line. No, must have taken place at the 14-yard line, because they mark it back to the 7. So now first and 23 from the 7-yard line. Flowers in the backfield. Pryor looking to throw, looking for that quick pop pass. It is caught over on the left side for a few yards, not that much, but that is caught by Javion Grant. But it's only a gain of about 4 or 5 yards out to the 12.
We remind you, LVC football tomorrow afternoon, 12:45 at FDU Florham in northern New Jersey. We'll have a game for you. And then tomorrow night on WMSSFM.com, we'll have for you Harrisburg Heat's home opener taking on the Baltimore Blast.
Second down and 18 for the Rollers. Slot right. High backfield. Pryor pitches. Flowers trying to get to the outside. Forget it. There's Landis again making the tackle. Hunter Landis back at the 5-yard line. That's a loss of 7.
And Flowers is hurt. He went down weird, and he was trying to hold up, started slipping. Hunter had all of him. Flowers just wanted to try to go back the other way or go anywhere he could away from Hunter Landis, and it didn't matter. He just took him right down hard to the turf, and Now he's hurt. So we'll take an injury timeout.
Yep, 1:15 left to play in the first quarter. It's Middletown 20, Steel High nothing. Back after this on the Fager-Finger Minor Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
Jarvey Flowers able to walk off the field under his own power. He's definitely favoring something on the left side, either ankle, knee, hard to say. We don't really have any way to really tell, but he is going off under his own power, so that's at least a good sign for Jarvey Flowers. So now that will put, I believe, Jared Robinson back as the tailback. Trying to see the number. It's going to go right up the middle, and it's going to be close to the original line of scrimmage all the way out to the 20-yard line. No, that wasn't Robinson. That was Isaiah Lockett on the carry.
Isaiah Lockett with the carry.
He gets out to the 19-yard line, so he will have them with a 14-yard gain, their best play of the game, but still a fourth down. Saves them from punting out of their own end zone here with Mills back to return just into Steel High territory. Neidlinger is the punter. He's standing at his own six. There's the snap. Neidlinger gets the boot away. It's going to be a short kick headed towards the sideline. It's going to go out of bounds right around the 40-yard line, I'm going to guess, of Steel High. Official still marching, and he will stop at the 41-yard line.
Steel High's punt goes out of bounds.
So 16 seconds left in the first quarter here. Middletown leading by a score of 20 to nothing, and the Raiders have the football again in plus territory.
Well, there's a lot of different rankings out there. Patriot News has Middletown, I think, fifth right now in the state. Eastern Football has them number one in the East.
First down and 10. Handoff is going to go to Lopez. And the jet sweep finds the edge. Now cuts back 35-30, and he's going to be tackled down to the 27-yard line. So a gain of 14. Make it 13 for Lopez.
Also noticed, I forget what the other website was.
PA Football News has it down second.
Is it second or fourth?
Second.
Okay. Yeah, there's a few different ones.
Yeah, there's different opinions all over the place.
I just find it interesting that the Patriot News has them as far down as they do when they don't even see those teams out west. They have disrespected.
We've reached the end of one quarter. We'll take timeout or score after one. It's Middletown 20, Steel High nothing. Back with the second quarter after this here in the Finger Finger Matter Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
Middletown Home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown Home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown Home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351. The Middletown Home, where they serve from the heart.
First and 10 for Middletown at the Steel High 28-yard line. Snavely takes a snap, handoff. Brady Fox, flag is thrown. Fox changes directions. He'll get about 4 yards on the carry, but hold everything as it's going to come back on a holding penalty.
I was talking to Chris Lupp earlier from the 89 team before the game, and he's just amazed with this team as most folks. So you don't get one of these – come along that often. And you know, he was part of a team that, remember the 89 playoffs, Everly got hurt. Chris Lupp came in, you know, filled the void at running back, but Middletown still ended up losing that game. But, you know, it's great to see a lot of former Middletown football players out here, and they know just how good this team is.
Second down and 20 after the penalty, slot left. Thompson now goes in motion out to the left. Snavely looking that way. Now he'll throw deep down the middle, and it is going to be pass interference as Tyre Mills basically got the two-hand shove version of pass interference, and it'll be a 15-yard penalty against Steel High.
Yeah, not much you can do. Who was it? Javion Grant back there.
And it was great.
Grant and Lockett. And he had split them, and he was getting past them. That ball was in the air, and they're like, well, we only have one recourse. Take him out. Mills reminds me of a Jarvis Landry type player in the NFL. Where
are they putting this? I'm about to say, it's not a spot foul in high school.
I was going
to
say, they're going down pretty far.
It should be at about the 23-yard line.
There you go.
So that will be a 15-yard penalty.
The ball is moved to the 23-yard line, where it will remain first down.
So first, now it's, is it first down?
Yeah, first and five.
First down and five. Hand off goes to Fox, goes left side, 15, 10, cuts back, 5, touchdown.
Does it really matter, Steve?
It really doesn't. 23-yard touchdown run for Brady Fox, and now we'll see if they try to kick the extra point or try to square things up and go for two.
They're going to kick the extra.
So Donovan Brady in to try the PAT here, as Steel High just has no answer for the Middletown offense. There's the snap. Snavely puts it down. Brady puts it up and through. We'll take timeout. 11:24 left to play in the second quarter. Middletown 27, Steel High nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Middletown home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351. The Middletown home, where they serve from the heart.
Well, officially, that was a two-play, 41-yard drive for Middletown. There were two penalties in there. Made it seem a little longer than that, but only took 52 seconds off the clock. And the length of drives for Middletown tonight, 158, 231, a minute 38, and 52 seconds.
They're like a Prius, not using much energy at all.
Here's that high kickoff again, and it's going to be fielded by Kareem Rory at the 36-yard line. The Steel High offense will come back out trying to get something going here. They haven't been able to get a first down in this game yet.
And Middletown will be home next Friday night. Only four teams make it to the District 3 playoffs in AAA.
Now, have they officially announced where the district championship game will be in AAA? We know who it is.
Yeah.
It is, but
I don't think it's been officially announced, but we were told by the football chairman, Mr. Ziegler, up at Newport Schools, that it will be Thursday the 17th at Hershey Park Stadium.
Handoff is going to go to Isaiah Lockett, trying to go to the right side. He's going to be bottled up and loses a couple yards back to the 34-yard line.
Because we were concerned. We knew that the soccer, state soccer, was going to be at the stadium on that Friday and Saturday, and it wasn't going to be available, and the single and doubles were going to be down at Boiling Springs. And we're like, please, hopefully they give it a good spot. So I think they just decided that AAA would have enough crowd fanfare that they should put it at Hershey Stadium. And it looks like, you know, preliminary, tentatively, we were told by the football chairman It will be Thursday, November 17th at Hershey Park Stadium.
But again, unofficial until they actually release
it. Exactly.
But we think we have the inside track on that.
Oh, yeah.
Pitch goes to Lockett. He gets to the outside, and he was one busted tackle away of finding the sideline and having a nice gain. He gets out to the 40-yard line, so a gain of about 6-7 yards on the play.
Yeah, it was Trey Leach who was over there, though, out of nowhere. I didn't even see. I was like, wow. I thought he was going to break it down the sideline. Leach just happened to be over there hiding out and took him down immediately. This has been just a dominating performance. And will probably go down as the most dominating performance possibly in a long time, Middletown against Steel High.
I think Jimmy Greencastle Antrim's up now 21-0. So again, that's good news for Steel High. Pitch goes to Lockett on third down and 5. He's going to find the edge this time and get a first down to midfield. 9 yards on the run for Lockett, who has looked good running the football here. He's got 4 carries for 28 yards.
I don't know if that was the plan call or if they called that from the line, but they could tell the blitz was coming in with Hunter Landis up the middle. Quick pitch, get to the outside. That's where they picked it up. Raiders are going to have to learn, just like against Milton Hershey, you've got to contain that outside.
At midfield are the Rollers here.
By the way, up at State College. State College leading Central Dolphin now 10-3 late in the second quarter. That's on WMSSFM.com on our alternate stream.
Steel High.
As we get a Steel High timeout, keep it right here. And we remind you of the All Oldie Saturday tomorrow, brought to you by Members First, 6:30 a.m. until noontime. Got some cool stuff tomorrow. Little Ed Burns, some Johnny Maestro and the Crest, the Rainbows, so much more. The Citadels, things you have not heard in a long time. The Mag Men. Check it out tomorrow, 6:30, bright and early, with the All Oldies Saturday.
So the game that we want to keep tabs on here for Steel High's sake from the York Adams League is Susquehannock at Dover, and it's the only one in the York Adams League that we do not have a score on.
No one's covering it. All right. I see Red Lions leading, and I guess we should make note that Red Lion is still also unbeaten.
Yes, Middletown and Red Lion are the two undefeated teams.
And State College, technically, even though.
Yeah, well, they're not a District 3 team. That's
but a mid-pen.
Following the timeout here, Steel High with a first down and 10 at the midfield stripe here. Pryor under center, high backfield. And a motion over to the right side. Handoff goes to Lockett trying to go straight up the middle, and nothing there. I think they're going to have more success with Lockett trying to get him outside.
Yeah, and he was even trying to follow Eric Washington, who's 6'5", 320-pound senior. And he couldn't block anyone. And almost like he ran into a wall and dropped when he got up to that line, and he's hurt.
Is that Lockett who is down?
I thought it was. No, Lockett just jogged off. Lockett, sorry.
I think it might be Ishmael Hodge who is down.
Yeah, I think you're right. 50. Yep.
So,
yeah, that's... About three times now these guys have
injuries
been
are piling up here.
For Steel High. They're getting banged up.
They help Hodge up, and he's going to... Looks like he's going to be able to walk off under his own power, so that's good.
They're even able to make the playoffs. They're going to be going in with a med unit next week. This is a special Middletown team. And Steve and I, we say it every week. We said it first week. Steve and I sat at the preseason games, we knew what was coming back and analyzed things, and what we saw, we knew immediately this is going to be a special year. And we keep telling you folks, get on the bandwagon. Join the bandwagon.
Second down and 11. They marked that last one back to the 49-yard line. Backs are in the eye here. Hodge under center pitches. That is going to be Flowers who checks back in, but he's going to have no room. And a flag is thrown late. Not sure what that is going to be. I saw Flowers try to throw a stiff arm, so
Woody landed on him kind of weird, and I don't know if they're going to call personal foul. Oh, they're saying face mask. I didn't see the face mask.
The face mask against Middletown?
Yeah. But what a year LaRon Woody has had. Senior, defensive back. I mean, this kid has so much speed. And if it's not Woody coming in and getting you, it's going to be McCoy catching you. If not them, Mills is coming in on you.
The ball is spotted at the 46-yard line.
That is one of the fastest Middletown teams in recent years.
Penalty is going to take it to the 46-yard line of Middletown, where it'll be second down and six. So lock it back in there. That was just Flowers for one run, and he's back over to the sideline. Going to be a pitch. Lockett trying to get outside, and it is going to be a loss of a few. The Steelhide tackle on the left side pushed the Middletown defender right into the ball carrier.
Yeah, Truesdale was getting blocked over there, and as he went down, Lockett just running right to him, and Truesdale's reaching up like, hey, I'm right here. I can still get him. Held him long enough to wait for the help and take him down for another loss. And Truesdale's getting a lot more playing time these last four or five games. He's worked his way up the last five games of this season. A lot of playing time for Middletown. Well, he's had a couple interceptions, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's. I guess you can say he's one of the guys that replaced Stetler defensively.
Yeah.
Third down at 14. Offset eye backfield for the Rollers. Pryor under center. And we've got a delay of game penalty against the Rollers. So that'll mark them back another five.
Taking too much time. We've covered these Rollers over the years. Our good friend John Beck, former coach. Steel High, he's been on some of our broadcasts over the years. Of course, the interesting move was when Dibler left Steel High, came to Middletown for a little bit, and left on bad terms.
Third down and 19 here. Wide to either side, eye backfield. Pryor, play fake, in trouble, and he is going to be sacked. Back about 15 yards out of line of scrimmage by LaRon Woody. And he just had no prayer.
LaRon Woody
laying down the wood. Oh, man, Woody is so fast. And that's what gives this team that extra dimension, the quickness coming out of the defensive secondary. It's not just like somebody coming in, you know, and just a little blitz here and there. These guys are running people down in the backfield.
Nadlinger in to boot this one away as it's fourth and, like, 29. He'll put the boot to it. Low kick, going to bounce in front of Mills, who will stay away from it. And Steel High will down it at about the 33-yard line. I was shocked that Mills stayed away from it.
He always wants that football so bad. But, you know, he's done a great job at maturing this season, and the coaches have done a great job in maturing him as well on the returns, because you saw early in the season, he could have five guys standing around him. He wanted to grab that football and take off. He wanted the ball so badly. But he's learned to be patient. He's learned when to take it and go on the run. And now he's starting to learn when to just step away and leave it alone.
By the way, Bermudian Springs already up 34-0 on Biglerville at halftime. Littlestown leading Fairfield 15-0 in the second quarter. Hand off to Fox, trying to go to the right side. He is strung up, and he's going to lose a yard.
One of the biggest things that we've really noticed these last few games for Middletown, I want to say the last three or four games, Steve, is the fact that we're not seeing the ball popping out of the running back's hands anymore. You know, our guys love to run. They love to flash that arm around and stuff early in the season. You know, might cough one up here and there. But I'll tell you what, they've done a great job, I think, especially here in the second half of the season.
Yeah, after the Paul Myrie game.
Yeah, defending the football.
The Paul Myrie game was the one time where that little bugaboo came out.
Yeah. And
that was Middletown's worst day. Handoff goes to Fox. makes a cut at 35, still on his feet, and Brady Fox is going to be out to the 38-yard line, picks up about 6 yards. It'll be third down and 5 for the Raiders.
Fox, I thought, could have taken it to the outside. He decided to cut back in there at the last moment. And 5:12 to go. Middletown up 27-0.
It'll be third down.
I'd like to put one more on, but Fox comes over to the sideline, takes off his one glove. I don't know if he got stepped on or something in his helmet, but we're just going to take a quick look at him here on the sideline real fast.
Third and 5, handoff goes to Thompson up the middle. He pushes forward. He's going to be close to a first down, but not quite.
Number 7, Jalen Thompson.
So Thompson picks up 4, and now we'll see what Middletown does here. And I just go.
I'd go for it, yeah.
Yeah, you just have that offensive line just push the pile forward.
Exactly. Why not?
Getting that.
And I used to like that with the Lupias. You know, you get the Lupias out there, and that quarterback was an Aaron Lupia, and he was just lining up quickly right after them to snap and go.
Yep, and they're all in tightness. It's just going to be Snavely pushing forward, and they just muscle him across the 45. Still going. Steele High says they ripped the football out.
Chase Snavely with the carry.
But it is going to be a first down for Middletown.
Yeah. Talk about lining up in the victory formation and just playing a game of rugby for one play. That's all they did. They got it all close, and it's just like, okay, let's push. I'll see him go deep here on a pass.
First down and 10 at the 47-yard line of Steele High.
I would not be surprised they go with Mills on that deep post.
Slot right, wide left is Mills. It's going to be a handoff. Thompson almost slips but makes the cut, goes left side. He's going to have about a first down, but we've got a flag thrown.
Flag on the play.
And it's going to be a hold against Middletown.
Coming up at halftime, we'll run down all the scores. If you're tuning into our game and looking for the Central Dolphin game, click on the other stream at WNSSFM.com. If you've got a smartphone, you're listening to us on the TuneIn app, hit the menu. You'll see the little menu bar giving you the choose other stream, and click on the other one. You'll get that game if that's what you're looking for. 10-3 State College leading with 3:15 to go in the second quarter of that contest.
Ball's moved back to the 38-yard line where we're remaining.
First down and 20 for Middletown. Snavely will be in the shotgun slot right, wide, left. Snavely looking to throw, rolling to the right side, tosses. It is caught, and it's going to be Plummer, and he's going to have 11 yards. Out to the 48-yard line.
Third catch now for Plummer, and he's been getting himself open. Good hands, holding on. You like seeing that. We've seen so many different receivers used this season. Plummer and Hughes and Leach and Stetler and Mills. And they've got the guns, especially even Brady Fox out there.
Second down and 9 at the Middletown 48-yard line. Snavely with the snap. Quick slant, Mills caught, and he's going to have the first down, tackled at the 37-yard line. That is a gain of 15, and nobody was on him.
No, and that's why I was looking for it a couple plays ago. I thought they'd just run that just a little bit deeper because he's getting single coverage over there. The safety's playing up too far in the middle, and it's leaving that whole backside wide open for him that time. Just kind of a little slant pattern and, you know, nice catch and another first down. Clock under 3 minutes. Raiders would love to put this one away at the half by getting a touchdown and a two-point conversion.
Slot right, wide left. Snavely in the shotgun. Fox in the backfield with him. It's going to be a handoff. Fox going to the right and in some traffic, and he's going to go down after maybe a gain of a yard to the 36-yard line.
And how great is this football team when you've got running backs that you can go to in Thompson, the all-time rushing leader. Brady Fox has certainly been gaining more and more yardage onto his resume for this team. And then Lopez, the freshman.
Second down and 9, and we've got a timeout taken by Steele High. We'll take one as well. 2:15 left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 27, Steele High nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
Welcome back. Middletown's War Memorial Field. It is 27-0 Middletown here with 2:15 left to play in the first half.
By the way, check out our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM. Our webmaster, Facebook master, Dan Magaro. Last week we had some cool pictures over at Milton Hershey, and he's got some video already on there from tonight's game.
Second down and 9. Stavely rolling. Looking to throw on the run, and it is going to be caught by Mills, 35-30, and he's going down the sideline for the touchdown. I thought it was going to be picked off, but it was Damion Grant who almost stepped in front of it, but he didn't get it. It went through him, and Mills is right behind him, and there was no defenders behind him. So once Mills got the catch, he was down the sideline, and it's another touchdown for Middletown.
And Grant turned towards his bench at the 40, put his head down, hands on his shoulders, or hands on his helmet, put the head down, and was just in disbelief that he didn't have a pick six on that, because we both kind of thought that was going to happen. That was too close. And now the Raiders will go for two and try to have a mercy at halftime.
2:05 left to go in the half. 33-0 is the score, and it will be a two-point conversion attempt, but Middletown has to talk about it a bit here first.
I kind of like that because they're down in the south end zone where we have our nice big WMSS 91.1 FM banner, so while they're down that way, folks are looking that way, and next to the big home of the Blue Raiders banner. And a lot of these banners, a lot of these things, you see the turf covering down here, the carpet with the big Blue Raiders logo from the Blue and Gold Club. They're the ones who hold the raffles every year, do the big party in January at the American Legion. Keep an eye out for that. They do the bricks with the brick wall here at the north end that you can sponsor and get engraved bricks on the north end of War Memorial Field. And they buy and do so many great things for the Middletown School athletic programs and other activities.
So here's the two-point conversion to try to put Middletown up 35. There's the snap. Handoff. Oh, it's going to be the reverse throw. Leach looking to throw it, and it is going to be Snavely catching it, and he's into the end zone for the two-point conversion. So we'll take timeout. 2:05 of the play in the first half. It is 35-0 Middletown over Steel High. Back after this on the Faker Finkelbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Welcome back to Middletown's War Memorial Field. Well, that was the longest Middletown drive of the night. 4 minutes, 14 seconds, 8 plays, 67 yards. End result, it's the same. Touchdown, Middletown. They get the two-point conversion. We saw that reverse option pass before once this year, and they use it here again to get up by 35. And now Steel High will have to score here in the last couple minutes of the half, or else it will be mercy rule at halftime. Kickoff goes to Grant. He'll go across the field, 15, 20, finds the sideline. Mills is going to have to make a tackle. He does so out at the 20, or rather the 44-yard line.
Yeah, Mills and Lopez were over there. They weren't worried. They knew they had the midfield covered. And a nice return on the far side by Grant. And then once he got up around the 40, it was time for Middletown to slam the door shut. Now, Middletown keeps that 35-point lead here in at halftime. And we'll be in that mercy rule to start the second half. It just keeps the clock moving in most situations.
So the Rollers will come out here at their own 37-yard line. Looks like, is that Flowers back in there? It is Flowers. He's trying to go up the middle, and he's going to be bottled up. Nothing there. Loses a couple yards as Flowers back to minus 4 yards rushing on the evening.
35-yard line where it will be second down.
Second down and 12. Bless you, John.
Oh, thank you.
Love that 1 or 2 second delay we have on that button. Huh?
Yeah, thought I killed it in time. A little chill here, but good night once again. You know, we have been blessed this season with good football weather for the most part every game. And another nice night. It's chilly. It's cool, but folks are bundled up.
It's not that cold.
Not that bad, no.
Second down and 12. Handoff goes to Flowers up the middle, but again, too many blue shirts, and Flowers can't go anywhere. No gain on the play.
And poor Mari Randolph, 6'2", 290. He's in there just trying to make a block, and he's not going to move three guys out of the way. The final tackle, there's like five Middletowners in on the tackle. We'll check with DeMar Parker later and run down all the Middletown tackles and see who's been adding them up.
Third down and 12 for Steel High. Looks like Lockett's back in there as the deep man in the eye. Wide receiver to the right side of the formation. Also have a wing that way. Pryor going to look to throw. Just going to try to hoist one up. And it is going to be broken up by McCoy. They were looking to get it to the tall Jelani Isom over there. But it's incomplete. Fourth down.
Well, I like the play call. Yeah, you're going for the tall guy. A little bit of a mismatch. But a nice job by McCoy. Got in front. Got the arms up. Able to knock it. Swat it away. Now 13 seconds to play here in the half. Mills might get it one more time. And that's all he needs. 13 seconds. Actually, only needs one off a punt because it's still in play.
So Neidinger will punt it away. It's too high late getting person number 11 out onto the field here. As Neidinger will take the snap, and he will boot it away. It's going to be a short kick. No chance at a return. It's going to go out of bounds. Over around the Middletown 45-yard line. That's exactly where they mark it. So Middletown will have 7 seconds here to do something, and I would...
Yeah, it's going to be one of two things. It's victory formation. Just take the knee, go in at halftime, 35-0, or you hand it off to Thompson and let him run it 55 yards for a touchdown.
I don't know. They got the offense in there. They're going to maybe chuck it up.
Huh.
Yeah, they're going to throw it up here.
It's going to be fun.
Slot both sides. Snavely alone in the backfield. He'll take the snap. Has time. Steps up into the throw. Throws deep looking for Thompson. And he was hit from behind. But they're not going to throw the flag on that. And it is going to be... halftime. So we'll take timeout. Our score at halftime. It is Middletown 35. Steel High nothing. Back with a halftime show after this here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We are DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
Your number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown. Super 91.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up homestyle meals in a relaxed atmosphere.
The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage, offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike, on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363, or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Welcome back. We are at halftime as Middletown has a 35-0 lead here at the half against Steel High. Mercy rule will be in effect for the second half. And we'll take a look at the first half statistics right here, right now. First, we'll look at Steel High. Not much going offensively for the Rollers here tonight. Isaiah Lockett's the leading rusher. He has 6 carries for 19 yards. Jarvay Flowers, the starting running back, 7 carries for minus 4 yards. Stephen Pryor, the quarterback, was 1 for 4 for 5 yards in the first half. That pass went to Javion Grant. And team totals for the Rollers in the first half, 13 carries, just 15 yards, 5 yards passing. They were sacked once for a loss of 10. And it's just 10 yards offense here for Steel High. Middletown, leading rusher, Brady Fox, 9 carries, 83 yards. He has a touchdown. Jalen Thompson, 5 carries, 35 yards, 2 scores. Chase Snavely ran it once for 5 yards. Jose Lopez once for 13 yards. Receiving, Tyre Mills, 4 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Chris Plummer, 3 for 47. Jose Lopez, 1 for 13. Chase Snavely in the first half, 7 for 9, 140 yards, 2 touchdown passes. Team totals for Middletown, 16 carries, 126 yards on the ground, 140 yards through the air, 266 yards of total offense for Middletown in the first half of play. Scoring recap, we'll just run over the touchdowns here for Middletown. Thompson, a 9-yard run, then Thompson, a 15-yard run, and it was Mills on a 20-yard touchdown reception from Snavely. Brady made 2 of the 3 extra points. It was 20-0 after one quarter. Then early in the second, Brady Fox with a 23-yard touchdown run. And with 2:05 left to play in the first half, it was Tyre Mills, a 36-yard pass from Snavely, their second hookup of the game. And on the last one, it was a Trey Leach to Chase Snavely option pass for the 2-point conversion. And that gives us our score at the half here of Middletown 35, Steel High and nothing. We'll take time out. When we come back, we'll have more of the halftime show and eventually take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Again, our score at the break here, it's Middletown 35, Steel High nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
The new SNH Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards, and Triple S Screen Printing have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's SNH Screen Printing and Awards.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and are home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory, keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder, not just another funeral home. Welcome back to War Memorial Field. John Wilsbach with you at halftime. Middletown 35, Steel High nothing. And the Middletown Blue Raiders, another mercy rule to start the second half. Steve Leedy running down the out-of-town scoreboard. One of the games we're keeping an eye on for the Steel High folks. Susquehannock leading Dover 7-0 at halftime. That's according to our Brian Kaiser, who's covering the game up at State College, where State College is leading 10-6 over Central Dauphin at halftime. Make sure you check out our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM. Our Dan Magaro keeping things updated with some video. Of course, we had pictures last week of Jalen Thompson after the game, his interview and picture after breaking the record. We talk about the offense so much and what they've done, but once again, another defensive shutout by this Middletown team playing solid. Our DeMar Parker keeping some of the Middletown stats and Steel High stats in tackles. Who do we have as leading in Middletown tackling in this game, DeMar?
Leading tackling for Middletown, we have Hunter Lance with 5, Laurent Woody has 4, and Blake Jacoby has 3.
Not bad. What about Steel High?
We have Jayshon Ramsey with 6 tackles, and we have Shaquan Benton with 4.
All right. So, obviously, Steel High has had to make more tackles because Middletown's had the ball most of the time. But this Raider defense, you've seen this team several games so far this season. And these guys are quick. They're all over the field making tackles, making stops. They're in the backfield before you know it.
Yeah, they're trying to stop the run, and the cornerback's doing really good. Just enough to make sure they don't get no pass off of them.
Yeah, the corners are coming in, and they're just attacking. They're stopping those sweeps, especially last week when we saw that at Milton Hershey, how well Middletown was able to keep it on Lucas and Smith and just keep those guys contained throughout the game. And this defense... we'll get a little bit of a different look at some point here in the second half, get some other guys in there and give some of these starters a break as we will get to the playoffs next week. And we're quite confident, Steve and I, that Middletown can roar through districts and then head to the states and head through the east as well. But you know, there's several teams that we're keeping an eye on, and Steve's gathering those scores right now, and we'll be running them down very shortly. We've got football for you tomorrow at 12:45, Lebanon Valley College at FDU Florham, which is in northern New Jersey, 12:45 of the airtime on that. And tomorrow night, pro indoor soccer starts in Central PA again. The Harrisburg Heat taking on the Baltimore Blast. And we'll have that on WMSSFM.com on the internet only.
at 7 o'clock. So make sure you tune in for that. And, of course, tomorrow morning, the All Oldies Saturday, 6:30 till noon. Only the 50s and the 60s for our fans out there. Hope you enjoy tomorrow's show. I've got a lot of great stuff set up for you tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Check out our website, WMSSFM.com, for other information and schedules. In fact, our high school basketball and college basketball schedule will soon be posted on WMSSFM.com, so you want to check that one out as well. We mentioned Middletown boys and girls will be playing against Steele High a couple times during the basketball season, so that's always a good rivalry there as well. When we come back, we'll run down the out-of-town scoreboard, give you a little idea what's going on with the final playoff run, the final week of the regular season. We're at halftime, 35-0, Middletown leading Steele High. Back after this on the Blue Raider, the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Welcome back at halftime. John Wills, Fox, Steve Leedy, Tamara Parker, Dan McGarrow, studio producer Owen Hedder, and Lexi Zimmer at the controls. Glad to have you along tonight. A very chilly but nice evening here, Middletown, the Blue Raiders in control, 35-0. All right, let's run down the scores, what we've got going on.
All right, State College CD game, last I have is 10-6. Is that still
let's check that out
correct?
Again. That is the last one I have as well. So 10-6 at the half in favor of State College.
All right, so that's a tight one up at State College, as it was expected to be. Halftime score, Harrisburg and Cumberland Valley, they are tied at 14. The other game in the Commonwealth Division, Carlisle leads Chambersburg 33-7 on the teams that are on the bottom there. One cross-division play as we have CD East leading Bishop McDevitt 17-7 in the second quarter.
And they lost their quarterback last
week,
right?
Yes, they lose their quarterback for the season.
Yeah.
Keystone game, we only have one, or Keystone Division, we only have one score. Cedar Cliff over Susquehanna Township, that's 14-7. Lower Dolphins also playing Hershey tonight in Mechanicsburg. They face Redline. Colonial Division games, we have Shippensburg leading Big Spring 10-0 in the third quarter. Greencastle Antrim already has invoked the mercy rule on James Buchanan, 35-0. And that one.
Can they just end that game right now and just let, you know, Greencastle walk away and say goodbye, James Buchanan, come back in several years?
Waynesboro leads Mifflin County 21-0 at halftime. Northern leading West Perry 28-13 at halftime. And one or two other games we have in the Capital Division that we have scores for. East Pennsboro leading Boiling Springs. That was, I think, the end of the first quarter was the last I had on that one. And then Milton Hershey leading Palmyra 7-3. That is in the second quarter, and I think that's one of the Palmyra 7:30 start times, so that's running a little bit behind everything. Camp Hill also plays Trinity tonight as well to round out the mid-pen schedule. Going to York Adams League, we have scores on all the games here. All of these are halftime except for a third quarter, Columbia over Kennerdale 14-6. So here's all the halftime scores. And Middletown's possible opponents next week. The probable opponent is Littlestown. They lead Fairfield 22-0. The other one, Bermudian Springs, they lead Biglerville 34-0. Biglerville's winless on the season. Fairfield is, I think, 3-6, but they're a single-A school.
Yeah.
So not much there in the way of competition. Other scores. Red Lion, they continue to be undefeated, and they are up 20-0 at halftime over rival Dallastown. DeLone Catholic leads Hanover 10-7. We have, Redland is leading Mechanicsburg 21-0 out of mid-pen game. Northeastern York 27-0 over New Oxford. Spring Grove over Southwestern 7-0. Susquehannock leads Dover 7-0, as you mentioned earlier, and that's bad news for Steele High. They need Dover to win that game to make the District 3 single-A championship next week. Northern leads West Perry 20-14, another mid-Penn game. Gettysburg and West York tied at half at 0. Central York and William Penn at 17-12 Central York. York Catholic leads Yorkville Tech 27-6, and York Suburban leads Eastern York 20-7. Going to LL, we have halftime scores. Warwick over McCaskey 10-0. Hempfield over Lebanon 27-20. Wilson bombing Conestoga Valley 42-0. At the half, Cedar Crest 21, Lampeter Strasburg 6. Pocalico leads Solanco 14-0. Manheim Central, Mercy Ruling Garden Spot 36-0. Lancaster Catholic over Northern Lebanon 14-0. Donegal and Ambleclona, they are tied at 14. That's a big game because the winner of that game will tie for the LL3 title. Second quarter scores, Manheim Township over Penn Manor 27-14. Peckway Valley leads Elko 14-13. Third quarter, we have Columbia 14, Kennerdale 6, and is about all we got. Hopefully we'll get keep some more updates on that Susquehannock-Dover game. Hopefully they'll update that frequently.
Susquehannock leads 7-0 at half.
Correct.
But for Steele High's sake, Steele High needs Dover to win.
Correct.
Okay.
Steele High needs Dover to win because Steele High played Dover, and that would increase their opponent's winning percentage. So they want Dover to win that game, and that will give them enough because Greencastle Antrim is throttling James Buchanan, which pretty much we all figured that would happen anyway. So it was all going to come down to that one game for Steele High, and at least unofficially by my numbers, but I'm pretty sure they're right because I was in communication with District 3 over the week, and just to try to verify that because I knew it was going to be close. I had some other questions about some of the other numbers on some other District 3 teams, like the ones that Middletown were going to play.
So we're getting set for the second half. Middletown will have the mercy rule.
So it should be a quick second half, hopefully, for Middletown. Get this light off.
I had to turn the light on here briefly. We're gonna put a picture out on the Facebook page. It's a WMSS 91.1 FM. A lot of folks always wonder what Steve and I look like because we have a face for radio.
I would rather never have a picture of myself anywhere because of that.
Well, tough crap. You're going on the internet now.
Darn it. I'm trying to stay away from it. Not like I work in the IT business or anything, but I'm one of those guys that I have a Twitter account. I have a Facebook account.
Sure.
But I don't use it. I don't post anything. No. I don't want anybody to know about me.
I don't have any, so.
We know your story.
Yeah. 1980s calling. Somebody pick up the phone.
We're just happy you know what Facebook and Twitter is. So here we go. Start of the second half. And Middletown will kick off to Steele High as Brady will just kick a line drive straight down the middle of the field. It's going to bounce around and still bouncing. And it'll finally be picked up by Isaiah Lockett. And he's going to be brought down behind the 20-yard line. They're going to call the forward progress down at the 19, I believe.
Yeah, special teams has done a great job this season for Middletown. And a point where you get a lot of guys out there who are more JV players many of the time. They're putting them out there because players are more susceptible to injuries on the kickoffs and the kickoff returns. And you've got a lot of guys on this team going one way. Some guys going limited both ways. But you know, you get special teams, get some of these other guys standing on the sideline. They're itching to get in, and you get them out there, and man, they make the use of their time out there.
Let's see what the starting unit is here. I think it's going to be the starting defensive unit for Middletown here in the second half. Handoff goes to Lockett, and he's going to go off the left side of the offensive line. Gets about 5 yards on the carry.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if in the second half if we see, you know, Brady Fox and Thompson out there.
Second down.
I don't think that there will be a need, but, you know, you still want them to have a little bit more game shape going into, you know, maybe a four-quarter game once you get into the playoffs. Frankly, I think it'll be the same result next week.
Second down and 5 from the 24-yard line. Lockett gets the give, and he is going to be caught in the backfield and thrown down. That's Griffin Radabaugh, who got him by the legs, and he's going to lose 2 yards.
Griffin Radabaugh.
I really like seeing, you know, I remember back in the 88 season, and TV station up in the Berwick area did a feature on Berwick and Middletown, two similar towns, 3 Mile Island, both had nuclear plants, and they loved their football. And Friday night was where everybody went, and the signs, but they showed how Berwick had all these signs all over town, and Middletown only had a few signs here. And they're kind of making fun of Middletown. I'll finish in a second.
Third down and 8. It is going to be was that a fumble? And Pryor just had to eat it. He just had to go down on the ground. Loses a yard. It'll be fourth down.
But I remember that TV station up north doing that. And I remember Dennis Etze playing that TV feature in the locker room the day before the game against Berwick. And it's nice to see Middletown, a lot of families, a lot of people who have kids who are playing. They've got those little yard signs now working, you know, with the Raider pride and other things, their players. So, you know, that's something right now as we head into playoffs. More and more, you don't have to have a kid playing, folks. Get those signs up.
Kick by Neidlinger on fourth down. It's going to bounce at 45-yard line. Bounces right into Tyre Mills. Picks it up and unable to get away as the pressure was there right when he picked up that football. And it'll be Middletown's ball at their own 49-yard line here as the starting offense will come out here to at least start this second half with 9:26 left to play in the third quarter.
Yeah, Brady Fox is going to be out there. They do have Lopez out there as well, the freshman. And Thompson as well. So they'll probably try to get them at least almost a third quarter in, I think, probably before they call off the dogs.
Double wing formation. Thompson goes in most. Going to be the backside give to Fox. Going left now to the middle, and he just fights for about 6-7 yards, and it'll be second down and 3. Brady Fox is it. One tough runner between the tackles.
And Tyshawn Wright, a little slow getting up. Kind of bending over in a little pain from somewhere. The Raiders have put a hitting on tonight. Just need a little help now from Dover to get Steele high in the playoffs in single way.
Second down and 3. Slot to the right side, wide left. So they will have Lopez comes in motion in front of him. It's going to be the jet sweep to Lopez. He cuts, now jukes around, and he's going to somehow get the first down. That was some good footwork by Lopez just to get 3 yards in the first down.
Man, I'll tell you, that was good footwork because he should have lost a few yards out of that one. Man, you put a tutu on him. There was a ballerina act going on out there, man. He had some great footwork. That was nice to see. And it's so exciting because he's a freshman. You got Brady Fox back next year. You have Lopez back as a sophomore. You know, we remember seeing Brady Fox and calling his name when he was a freshman and what he was doing.
First down and 10. For Middletown at the Steele High 40-yard line. Two receivers to the right. It's going to be handoff right up the middle. Fox just fighting forward. Gets another 5 yards. The ball comes out late.
Thought the knee was down first, though. But I didn't hear a whistle.
Everybody was diving around. It's like Middletown still has it. And Fox is going to pick up 4 yards. He's up to 94 on 11 carries.
I'm going to keep him out there. I start worrying when.
My guess is you'd like to see him go down and put one on the board here in the third quarter, and then that'll pretty much be it for the first unit.
Yep. Clock keeps ticking with a mercy rule in the second half.
Slot left, wide right. Snavely hands it off. Lopez running to the right. He has some room. 35, 30, and he's going to be thrown out of bounds at the 28-yard line. That will be good enough for a first down, a gain of 8 yards on the play.
Exciting year in Middletown football. You look back at some of these great teams we've had here over the years, but early in the season we were starting to compare this team to that 88 team that was very successful for Middletown. Of course, that 88 team wasn't unbeaten.
No, they were not. They lost to Redland, I believe, 14-12. And we've got a flag thrown? legal substitution against Brent Myers. He tried to call timeout. He was walking yeah. onto the field. I think he knew he was going to get the penalty. That's why he called timeout. So
now he says, okay, I won't take the timeout. Give me the penalty. He's throwing his arms.
Penalty on Middletown ball. Well,
who knows what that conversation was with yeah. the official? Like, whatever, do whatever you want.
I think we can pretty much envision what it was.
Snavely handoff. This is going to be Fox trying to go around the right side, get some room, and now a couple blocks, and he'll have about 10, 11 yards before being stopped.
Number 34, Brady Fox with the carry.
It'll be second down and 5. It will be.
Yeah, those coaches, I'll tell you, they're focused too, just like these players. Talk about the players in practice practicing hard. The coaches are focused. You know, Brent Myers and his staff, they have their game plans. They know what they want to do. They know every little detail means something to being a successful program.
Slot left. Fox is behind Snavely, offset to the right side. That's going to be the handoff. Going right, bouncing right as Fox finds the sideline and going to be thrown out of bounds around the 16-yard line. Good enough for another first down for Middletown. As it's a gain of 7, that means Brady Fox is at 111 yards on the evening.
And we're going to have to start keeping an eye next year on his numbers.
He's out of bounds at yeah. 16 yards.
I'm kind of curious what his
Raiders.
Total rushing yards in Middletown history will be.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left. That's Mills. Javian Grant's out there on an island with him. Let's see if they look the throw. Nope, it's just going to be the handoff up the middle to Fox, and he spins around and gets down to the 12-yard line.
As we saw last week, Jalen Thompson, the all-time leading rusher, replacing Rodney Ramsey. We had a great conversation with him at halftime. Mike Carotti behind that. Scott Everly. Am I forgetting anyone? Then it was Earl Brown, Tony Colston. We've got some great runners in Middletown history.
Second down and 6. Snavely under center here. Marisky and Fox in the backfield. It's going to be a handoff to Fox. He has pressure on him, but he gets away from it, and he's going to be undercut in the backfield. That is Javion Grant with the tackle, as he's going to lose a couple yards.
And Ramsey, he's getting up a little slow for Steel High and limping back. There's not many guys. I think they only have about 9 guys they can substitute in over on that Steel High side. They're single-A school.
14-yard line where it'll be third down.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of guys, and they're playing both ways. They're tough kids, but they are really hurting right now.
Third down and 8 for Middletown. Mills is wide to the right side. Fox in the backfield with Snavely. There's the snap. Handoff goes to Fox. Goes left side. Cuts back, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown. Middletown, a 14-yard run for Brady Fox. And the Raiders lead 41-0.
Getting all that help on the far side, blocking here and there. Even Justin Mayerski in there, making some nice blocks with Lopez. And getting the help from the big guys up front. Newton battling his way. And Fox, that was the Fox drive there. Almost ate up most of the clock and worked it down the field, and I think that might probably be the end of him for this game.
Donovan Brady in for the extra point. It is up. It is good. We'll take timeout. 3:27 left to play in the third quarter. It is Middletown 42, Steel High nothing. Back after this on the Faker Finger Miner for your home Blue Raiders. Sports Network.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
Welcome back to Middletown's War Memorial Field. 42-0 Middletown with the lead here, and the Raiders are going to finish for the eighth time in their history undefeated in a regular season. The record of 10-0, unless we see the comeback of all comebacks. Down 42 with a running clock. Good luck to you. Javion Grant picks up the kickoff at the 17-yard line, and he makes a cut. 45-40. Mills is going to have to run him down, and Grant is finally going to be caught at the 50-yard line.
The one mistake Grant made was he saw Mills and decided to slow up, but he forgot that none of the blue and gold will stop chasing him down. And when he stopped, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, there were like five, six guys converging on him. It has been a fun season and more fun to go. Do you have all the teams with the unbeaten?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know who they all are.
Let's run them down when we get a chance. Yeah, because there was that long gap in between, you know, Dave Yawn and Dennis Etsy's unbeaten team.
First and 10 at midfield here for the Rollers. Pitch is going to go to Grant, who is in the backfield, and he's trying to go to the right, now in trouble, has to go the other way, and he'll be across the line of scrimmage, and he'll get hit pretty good at the 46-yard line. He gains 4, but he's going to feel that one.
Yeah, he's getting up slow enough. Hunter Landis just kind of boomed down the shoulder on him and dropped him, just kind of stood there over top of him looking down. Good run, good hustle by Grant. Yeah, nowhere to go. Again, these guys are winning. They're playing both ways, but they have just run into a dominant Middletown team this year.
Yeah, this is tough with the numbers that Steel High.
Oh, yeah. But this is why they should make playoffs, hopefully, because they deserve to be there. They're a good single-A team.
No updated score on that pass, that halftime score. Handoff goes up the middle. I think it was Lockett with about a 2-yard catch. Or, I'm sorry, a 2-yard run, I should say. No, that was Grant again.
Number 3, take out Grant again with the carry.
So, third down and 4 at the Middletown 44-yard line. Really, the only thing in question here is Middletown going to hang on for the shutout here tonight?
Right.
I guess we can say now that this game is pretty much at hand. They're going to have a little post-game shindig for those of you listening on the radio here in the stands. You kind of want to hang around for a little bit. If you remember back in 1989... Middletown did that.
I did that.
Yeah. That goes to Devin Jude Lee at quarterback, and he will throw incomplete. It'll be fourth down.
Yeah, good time.
44-yard line, where it'll be fourth down.
Back then.
And when I found out about it, I said, as long as nobody says we want Berwick, I think we'll be okay.
The Scott Everly comment live. You see Dennis Etsy quickly running over to the newspaper guy. He's like, don't print that. Keep that out there.
I don't think they listened, did they? Did they put it? They put it in the paper anyway.
Yeah, they mentioned the fact that he said it, and there was concern immediately. You don't want to give anyone any type of incentive.
Lee looking to throw on second or on fourth down, and it's overthrown, incomplete. Middletown will come back out on offense, and I believe this will be it for some of the starters. Yeah. I see a couple others. Out there now. I see Botterbush out there. I see Lopez out there. Antonio Gamble's out there. Offensive line is still out there, it appears. Oh, nope. Here comes some of the backup linemen coming out. Snavely's still going to be in there at quarterback, though. But again, he's going to be handing the football off, so that really is a minimal risk factor.
Still, you don't need anyone tripping or falling in on him and rolling him over. Gamble's out there on the right wing.
Handoff goes to Lopez. He comes around the corner, gets a block, 50, spins around, spins back into the tackle, but he's going to fight forward and should be enough for a first down, as that is going to take us to the end of the third quarter. So we will take timeout. Our score
number 23
after three quarters of play. It is Middletown 42, Steel High nothing. Back with the fourth quarter after this, here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
J.D.'s Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. J.D.'s Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh. Like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's J.D.'s Junction in Middletown.
Gingrich Memorials in Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
One quarter of football left here in the regular season. Middletown on their way to 10-0 this year with a 42-0 lead here over the Rollers. Handoff. That is going to go to Edwin Figueroa trying to get to the edge, and he'll get out of bounds right around the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play. Came all the way from the other side of the field.
Figueroa with the carry.
Good to see these guys get some action. You know, JV team, the last time I had checked, I haven't looked lately or asked, but you know, they were unbeaten here in the latter part of the season. So it was good to see that the JV guys, when they were getting their games, were being successful. What are these unbeaten teams?
Unbeaten.
Let's go. Let's work it backwards. How's that?
Backwards?
Yeah.
The last one was in 2000.
And before that.
Yeah, 1999.
Yeah.
That was a...
Back-to-back.
Yeah, good class for Middletown.
Uh-huh.
Handoff goes up the middle. I believe that was Botterbush on the carry. Yeah.
But Mike Dongai's team just couldn't get it done then once they got into the...
No, they got some tough draws.
Yeah.
It was Botterbush, by the way, on the run for no gain, third and 10. Yeah, you got... In 99, they drew Mannheim Central in the first round. That was not going to be a good draw.
It was 2000 Lancaster Catholic?
2000 was
Conestoga Valley
in a game over at West Shore Stadium.
Okay.
Middletown just couldn't get on track in that game.
Yeah, I remember I missed that game. You called that one.
Yeah, it was 14-0 Conestoga Valley in that one.
I think I was on the road with the Heat that year.
Third down and 10 for Middletown here at the 46 of Steel High. Handoff goes to Gamble. In trouble in the backfield. Flag is thrown. Gamble's going to lose about 4 yards on the play, and we'll see what the flag is. Probably against Middletown. Steel High will likely decline that since it was about a 4-yard loss. Before that, the 1989 team, following the success of the 1988 team, they made it all the way to the Eastern Final against Berwick. And the following year, they went 11-0. And then that's the infamous game over Hershey Park Stadium, where Scott Eberle got hurt during the game. And Elizabethtown, not many people thought they were going to compete in that game, but they were able to knock off Middletown, I think like 23-12.
Yeah, a little revenge from losing in 86.
Yeah. Handoff goes to Lopez on fourth down and 15, and Lopez is going to be thrown down for a gain of a couple yards.
Number 23, Jose Lopez with the carry.
And I think they might have missed a down there somewhere.
Meanwhile, they're handing out a whole bunch of signs to all the fans here at the stadium. Whatever it takes on one side, Raider pride on the other. Those are good signs for folks to put up in their windows. And
just don't bring them next week, because you can't bring signs.
That's
into
true.
Just
That's a good point.
Game.
That's a good point. Very picky about things like that.
Yep, the district is, they're not. I don't know if they're as bad as the No Fun League or the NFL, but, you know.
They don't have players trying to jump on a ref and give him a hug.
No. That was Earl Thomas. He was just having fun. Timeout. Timeout on the field by.
So we're going backwards.
All right, so we're going backwards. So 2000, 1999, then the 1989 team. Then before that, it's stuff that I don't remember.
It goes way back to the Dave Yawn era.
1975.
I think that I think Bull Schwartz was on that team.
I was two, so I don't remember.
Yeah, I was 10. I remember seeing the games, but don't remember everything that well. And then before that,
1971.
71.
You got nothing to
I'm gonna guess before that it was 68?
69. And then the very first undefeated team from Middletown was 1948.
Was that Coach Butt Savage?
I have no idea. There's a long pass. It is caught. Grant, 20-yard line, and he's going to be down inside the 10-yard line. So that is going to be...
Gilhide's pass is complete to number three.
Lee Grant. To Grant.
And number three, Dylan Andre.
Sounds like a Civil War thing. Lee to Grant. And it's all the way down to the 7-yard line.
Ball spotted at the 7-yard line. It'll be first down, Steelhide.
45-yard gain.
That's Larry Etter. He wasn't sure if it was Coach Yavison or Coach Bud Savage, but we may be wrong.
High backfield here. Lee under center. First and goal at the 7 for Steelhide. Handoff to Grant up the middle, and he's going to be thrown back. He's going to lose a few yards back to about the 10.
Where we need some of our old-timer friends to... they don't even have texting to text us quick. Where are you, Hop? Hop would know.
Might be listening to us.
He might.
Second down and goal from 10. Yeah, if you want to know anything about Middletown football history, I know he is. He had a lot of stuff. He gave me his book one time, and that's... Yeah. That's where I have all the Middletown scores in the entire history of Middletown football. Here goes Lee. He's going to try to run for it. He's going to be hit and close to the goal line. Actually, they're going to call him down at around the 2. That is Devaju Lee. I hope I'm pronouncing his first name right, because I don't know. It's D-E-V-A-U-J-E.
It'll be third and goal.
So it's going to be third down and goal from the 2-yard line. Lee under center, eye backfield. Deep man is Isaiah Lockett. Wide to either side. Lee with a pitch to Lockett. Lockett bounces outside. He's angling for the pylon, and he is going to be into the end zone for the touchdown. So the shutout is off the board here for Middletown, but it's still 42-6 in favor of the Raiders.
Well, you like to see the shutout, but you know, you're not going to keep your starters out there for an entire game just to do that.
No.
Get the JVs out there, make sure no one gets injured going into playoff time, and they give up a score, they give up a score. And yeah, this team very easily could have had a lot of shutouts all season.
You don't get bonus points in any ranking system for blowing somebody out or getting a shutout. So
that's right.
It really doesn't matter. And this game is well under control. The important thing is the W. And after the extra point here, I do want to explain one thing. As Neidlinger's extra point is good. It's 42-7 Middletown with 6:57 left to play in the fourth quarter. 2 weeks ago, I came in here at homecoming, and I looked at the flags out here.
Yeah.
And the flags, they have M on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I noticed all the ones on the one side of the press box were upside down. I came in, I'm like, did I go to Whittletown? Is this the waiters? What's going on here?
Wilsbach. Come on.
Oh. No. They do it intentionally, and they flip them for every win that Middletown has over the year. So now tonight, if you looked out here, there would be 9 that are flipped, the M's or W's.
Oh, okay. I got you now.
Doing like the Chicago Cubs thing, you know, with the W flags.
They must have just started that this year. I've never picked up on that.
I never did either. And I just, for some reason, I noticed it on the way in last week, and I asked what was going on here. They had them upside down.
But that's what it was. It was, like I say, it was kind of the Chicago Cubs thing. And again, if you're a Cubs fan, congratulations. It was a long time coming. By far the longest drought in any major sport. That was I watched probably one baseball game a year, and that was Game 7 the other night.
I couldn't stay up.
Onside kick attempt. Nice high bounce on it, but Middletown's going to fall on it at the 45-yard line with 6:55 left to go.
Who had the good hands on that one? Oh, it was Woody. Yeah, LaRon Woody. A solid performance by him tonight.
Kickoff is downed by number 5, LaRon Woody.
So the Raider offense checks in. This is pretty much all second unit guys now.
Well, Woody's a little gimpy coming off the field. Getting his right ankle checked out, or maybe there's just a problem with the spikes.
Scott
cleats.
Scott Ash will be in at quarterback here for Middletown. Yeah, what they try to do here is almost as if they try to get everybody a run in somewhere. Handoff will go up the middle. That's going to be Botterbush. He'll fight forward for 4 yards out to the 49-yard line.
We're getting on an updated score from our game up in State College. You can catch that on our alternate stream, WMSSFM.com, and on the TuneIn app.
Yep, still staring at that Susquehanna-Dover game, and it's still a halftime score.
Okay.
So they must be basically getting an update at halftime and probably at the end of the game, and that'll probably be it. Since it's 2-3-16.
We have a former WMSSer that just moved down to that school district last year, and I wish they would remember to send him a note.
And off to Gamble in 2nd-and-6, trying to go right side. He gets to the sideline. He's going to be pushed out of bounds, but Bach will keep going here as we've been under the mercy rule since halftime. Gamble gets back to the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play.
Look around. I think I know I have a text from him some point this fall, so I might be there. Maybe I can get a better grip on that. We'll be down the field after the game, post-game celebration, interviews, stats, out-of-town scoreboard later on.
Third down and 7. They actually mark Gamble back 2 yards on that one, back to the 48-yard line of Middletown. Under 5 minutes to play. Ash under center, hands it off, and it bouncing around. And it's going to be Ash falling on it back at the 38-yard line. Middletown will lose about 10 yards on the play as the handoff never got there, and then it bounced off of somebody back into the backfield, and Ash just had to go back and fall on it.
It'll be fourth down.
That'll be fourth down for Middletown.
The clock ticking away.
Let's leave the offense in here and just run another play.
We'll be back on the air next week and right here at Middletown.
And it appears that Littlestown is going to be the opponent. There needed to be about 4 things that happened. They all had to happen for Littlestown to sneak past Bermudian Springs to get the 3 seed. And one of them was New Oxford beating Northeastern York, and that wasn't going to happen. Handoff goes to Figueroa. He's trying to get to the edge. He's going to be ripped down by the jersey.
Number 11,
for no gain on the play, and Steel High will take over.
Early fourth, still 10-6 State College, leading Central Dolphin.
Defensive struggle, I think that was kind of expected, though, in that game. So first and 10 here for Steel High at the Middletown 39-yard line. They'll get probably one more drive out of this one. As we have a timeout on the field taken by the Rollers.
Timeout Steel High.
We'll just keep it here and look at the teams that will be in the District 3 AAA playoffs. Of course, Middletown going to be the 1 seed. Wyomissing will be the 2 seed. I don't think they can be caught by either the York teams, even with them losing tomorrow against Berks Catholic. But it will be a good opportunity for probably all three coaching staffs of Middletown, Littlestown, Vermilion Springs to go down and check them out tomorrow. Kind of a disadvantage to have, you know, to have your game be on Saturday on the last week of the year, because all your potential opponents will come and scout you in person.
That's right. And why I'm missing was the champion last year in double, right?
I'm not sure exactly what they did. They have pedigree in state playoffs here recently. Lee will step up in the pocket now. He'll try to run it, and it'll be tackled right around the 26-yard line. That's a nice gain of about 12 yards for Lee.
Number 10, he got a tackle by Trayvon Joseph, the sophomore.
Brought down at the 27-yard line.
Great crowd on hand here tonight for Middletowners. Steel High, we're rooting for you. We're hoping that Dover can come back, win that game, get you guys into the single-A playoffs, but a little weak showing on the far side by the Roller.
Maybe they'll all be at home listening to us, too.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Steel High fans know that we always done Middletown broadcasts, and we've certainly done a number of theirs in the history, as it's going to be a lot of Raiders in the backfield, and Lee's got nowhere to go. He is going to be sacked back around the 38-yard line. That's a loss of about 10 on the play.
John Etter, Cole Sr., someone else got back there too.
By the way, Bermudian has won their game 41-0 over Biglerville. Littlestown had a little tougher of an opponent, but not much, in Fairfield, 43-7. And Fairfield's the team that Steel High is trying to catch in the power ratings. And again, it all is going to come down to that Dover-Susquehannock game, by my calculations, which I hope are correct. I think they're right.
Let's hope so.
High backfield. Pitch. That is going to go to Lockett, trying to get to the edge. He does so, and he'll have a few yards. Number picks 18, up several. Give him about Lockett six before being knocked out of bounds.
LVC on tap tomorrow for us at 12:45 with college football.
Don't remind me. I got to drive out to almost
New York. Brian's going to make you drive? Well, you better, because he always gets lost.
Last time you sent Brian to drive there, he ended up right across the river from New York City.
Yeah.
So, I'm driving.
We don't send Brian out anywhere.
I'm surprised he made it to State College. It was him and Eric going to that game.
Those two, yes.
High snap. Lee has to turn around. He picks it up on the hop, and he's going to have some room. 40, 35, gets across the line of scrimmage, and he's going to get about 5 yards on the run. And it's going to be a fourth down here with just over a minute left to play. And I think John is
getting that microphone ready to go down on the field.
We're going to try to get Coach Myers before the post-game celebration, so just so we can kind of not interrupt that as it's going on. As there'll be, I'd say one more play, but if Steel High doesn't get the first down, it's going to be a timeout. So here's a fourth down play. Steel High with one more crack at it here as Lee in the shotgun. He'll take the snap. Looking to just throw it up, and it is incomplete. Middletown is going to take over on downs. Looking to get it to Jared Robinson over on the left side, but no good. And Middletown will take over on downs, and they will be able to put one knee down and take it to a 10-0 record. Actually, they're just going to keep the clock running as the final 10 seconds will click off the scoreboard. And for the eighth time in Middletown football history, the Raiders are undefeated, 10-0 on the regular season. They defeat Steel High tonight by a final score of 42-7. Stay tuned for the post-game show coming up after this. This is the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
With kids in mind, custom apparel and accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With Kids in Mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With Kids in Mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers, or fries. It's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Welcome back, Middletown's War Memorial Field. As our John Wilsbach is down on the field. And we're going to see if we can go down to him.
All right, thanks, Steve. All right, Brett Myers, another big win. Nice way to end the regular season and from start to finish.
Yeah, without a doubt. Kids played really hard. I mean, you know, 42-7, I mean, that's a nice way to end the season for them, you know, and just before we, so we can get started next week and get moving to the second part of the season.
It's been a lot of years since an undefeated season. Not too many coaches get to have undefeated teams, and now you're up there as one of those in Middletown history. And that says something about you and this team and your coaching staff.
Well, yeah, we got a great group. I mean, I'm really, really lucky to be around these guys, the kids and coaches. I mean, I can't tell you how hard our coaches work and how hard our players have been working for this since December. And in the end, I'm just really lucky to be a part of it.
And everyone's contributing on this team. It's not just one or two guys. You got the line, you got the backs, the receivers, quarterback, the defense. Everyone does something, and that's been the whole effort this season.
Yeah, guys take pride in being a total team, and you notice that certain guys give credit to each other, and, you know, it'd be easy for them to say, look at me, but they're constantly pointing to the other, their teammates and giving them credit, and it's a special group that does that.
All right, I know we're going to have a little ceremony with you here afterwards. We'll let you get back to the locker room and come back out. Congratulations.
Thanks, John.
Brett Myers, back to you, Steve.
All right, thank you very much, John. As obviously Coach Myers is... has to be pleased with him and his whole coaching staff. They have done a great job with this team, and we knew that they were going to be a good group coming into this season, but really didn't know how good they were going to be until probably about the East Pennsboro game. Middletown, of course, opened the season against Lower Dauphin. That's always been a big test for this Middletown team, and they were able to pass that one with flying colors, 27-7. And then it was looking at that week four matchup with East Pennsboro, in which Middletown won quite handily, 50-14. And then we pretty much were put on notice that this team is going to be something special. Played the worst game of their season in the next big game against Palmyra. Left a lot of points on the field. Escaped with a 14-10 win, but really Palmyra had trouble moving the football. It was the defense that won the day for Middletown on that day. But outside of that, after the first two games, and the second one was a 33-0 shutout against Northern. It didn't quite get to the mercy rule. Seven of the last eight games, Middletown got it to the mercy rule. And no different here tonight as they hang the mercy rule on Steel High and complete this 10-0 season. Let's take a look at the post-game statistics in this one for Steel High. Leading rusher was Isaiah Lockett, 9 carries, 24 yards. Jarvay Flowers, 7 for minus 4. Backup quarterback Ibadu Lee was 3 for 25. Javian Grant, 3 for 3. Javian Grant caught the only two passes for the Rollers tonight. They were for 50 yards. Pryor was 1 for 4 passing for 5 yards. Lee was 1 for 4 passing for 45 yards. Team totals for the Rollers, 22 carries, 53 yards on the ground, 50 through the air. Sacked twice for a loss of 20. 83 yards of total offense here tonight for... All right, Middletown
Brady Fox, 16 carries, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jalen Thompson, 5 for 35 and 2 scores. Lopez, 5 for 33. Gamble, 2 for minus 7. Snavely, 1 for 5. Abel Botterbush, 2 for 4. Edwin Figueroa, 2 for no gain. Tyre Mills, 4 catches for 100 yards. Chris Plummer, 3 for 47. Jose Lopez, 1 for 13. Chase Snavely, 7 for 9, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. Team totals for Middletown, 33 carries, 197 yards, 140 through the air, and 337 yards of offense tonight. As the post-game ceremony is getting underway, a message by Principal Mike Carnes, and introducing the previous 7 years of undefeated teams, 1948, 1969, 1971, 1975, 1989, 1999, and 2000, along with this 2016 team.
They open league play versus undefeated East Pennsboro.
Go over the scoring recap of the of tonight's game. We'll just buzz through these quickly. Thompson, a 9-yard run. Thompson, a 15-yard run. Mills, a 20-yard pass from Snavely. It was 20 to nothing after one. Then Fox with a 23-yard run. Mills with a 36-yard reception in the second quarter. They had a Leach to Snavely 2-point conversion in there to make up for the one Brady missed extra point. It was 35 to nothing at halftime. Middletown got a touchdown in with Fox with a 14-yard run in the third quarter. Brady's extra point made it 42-zip, and then Steel High broke the shutout with 6:57 left to play in the fourth quarter. Isaiah Lockett, a 2-yard touchdown run, and Middletown wins here tonight 42-7. So we'll explain what's going on here. The band is lined up, and it looks like the Middletown team is lined up, and they're waiting to take the field.
This team has provided
one more time
effort each and every week of the season. Congratulations to the 2016 Mid-Penn Capital Division champions, our Middletown Blue Raiders.
And we turn the fog machines on, and now the team is going to walk through, and a lot of the guys, they're just walking out, hands on shoulders. Now they will run through and come in front of the Middletown stands here one last time, at least during the regular season, because remember, they'll get to do it next week as they will host a District 3 AAA playoff game next week against Littlestown. So that will be, again, a home game for Middletown next week as they are going to line up here right around the midfield stripe. And we will see if we can just kind of get the audio of what's going on here. I believe Mike Carnes is going to interview Coach Myers.
I feel like that's not a bad feeling. These kids deserve it, and they've been working hard and making a lot of sacrifices, and I'm just glad they got the experience. So what's so special about this group of players?
Yeah, they're pretty much like a family. They will fight with each other, hug on each other, argue, and then come out and compete together.
All right, thanks, Coach. We're going to move on to Chase Snavely. So, Chase, what's it like to be the leader of an offense like this? It's great. I'm blessed to have such a good O-line. Wide receivers, running backs, defense, and with them keen on the running backs, it makes my job that much easier. All right, thanks, Chase. I'll move over to Griffin Radaball, our defensive leader. As a defensive leader, how do you explain the success you have had each week as a unit?
We pride ourselves on running to the ball, and we play hard Middletown Blue Raider football. We're working hard. Come out and see us.
All right. Thank you.
I think that may be it. Maybe it's time for a possibly a post-game pick. But for once, it was beneficial to have the speaker right up right.
Yeah, finally. We always get angry because the speaker's right in front of us here. But Mike Carnes, the principal of Middletown High School, down there giving a little interview session.
It looks like the Middletown band will play a little bit, but good thing to do this right in front of the home crowd here on this last week of the season. As you always say, when you're walking through the Rose Garden, you always want to at least smell the flowers at least one time.
That's right. And it's tough to do sometimes when you're so focused on winning, when you're so focused at reaching the objective, that final objective. That, you know, and I used to always hear Jim Leland, the Pirate skipper, when I used to go out and cover the Pittsburgh Pirates during his early 90s years, he would say that often. And he would say, you know, it's tough. He goes, you want to win. You want to keep being successful. He goes, so many successful athletes have told us over the years, you know, don't walk through the Rose Garden without stopping to smell the roses. Essentially saying, you know, you've got to enjoy it at some point. Don't miss out on all that fun. And right there's an opportunity where they can stop, go out, have a little fun, get a little recognition in front of everyone, and enjoy it. And of course, we've done this a couple other times in past years, but it's been 16 years since the last undefeated season. How quickly they fly. And congratulations to the Raiders there. We want to take one more time out and get a score update. Okay, we'll step out one more time. 42-7, Middletown victorious over Steel High. And for you Steel High fans, we're going to try to see and get an update from you for Dover if we can. Back after this on the Blue Raider, the Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage, offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike, on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363, or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up home-style meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays 8 to 8.
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and they're home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder, not just another funeral home.
Welcome back. We are in the postgame show, 42-7, Middletown victorious over Steele High as we are frantically trying to work on our scoreboard here.
And I'm sorry to report that they have not updated that Susquehannock-Dover game. It looks like they have guys at every game except for that one. They have it halftime, and that's the most important game on the night for either of these two teams because Middletown has wrapped up the number one seed in AAA, and Littlestown is going to be the four. So it should be Middletown against Littlestown in the 1-4 game. The 2-3 game, I don't believe Wyomissing can be caught, so I think it's Bermudian at Wyomissing for that 2-3 game. Again, the official pairings, I believe they'll come out on Sunday, but that's pretty much what they're going to be. And again, Steele High needs Dover to beat Susquehannock to just barely outpoint Fairfield, who lost tonight, but they were expected to. So it was all going to come down to that one game, and the last score we had was Susquehannock beating Dover 7-0 at halftime. So the Rollers need a Dover comeback in the second half. The game is at Dover as well, and they're both 3-6 teams. So let's look at some of the other scores we got from around the area. Fourth quarter, it's a defensive struggle up in State College, still 10-6. Last I saw, CD has got the football in the fourth quarter in that one. Harrisburg, after being tied at halftime, they came out and thumped Cumberland Valley 35-14. So Harrisburg gets the win, and with that, CD can tie State College for the division title. Or State College will obviously win it outright because they'll be undefeated if they hold on to win that game up in State College. Carlisle all over Chambersburg, 60-28 in the fourth quarter. We have CD East leading Bishop McDevitt 20-13 with about 7 minutes left in that one. Lower Dolphin leading Hershey by a score of 21-0. That is in the fourth quarter. Cedar Cliff leads Susquehanna Township 29-7 in the fourth quarter. We have Shippensburg beating Big Spring 17-3. That's the final. Shippensburg ends with a 9-1 record. Greencastle Antrim routed James Buchanan 42-0 to pick up their second win of the season. Waynesboro is leading Mifflin County 35-2. That is a fourth quarter score. Northern leads West Perry 52-20. That's in the fourth. Mid-Penn Capital games. Last score we had, East Pennsboro was up on Boiling Springs 21-0. Got to be honest, I wasn't really looking for that because I don't think much of that is going to change. And Palmyra leads Milton Hershey 24-14. That is in the third quarter.
And an update up in State College. CD now in front 13-10 late in the fourth.
So CD marched down and scored.
We can always join them up there if we wanted to.
We could.
Yeah, we just might do that while you run down more scores. I'll coordinate putting the Central Dolphin game on the radio here.
Okay, some of the other scores we got. Final scores from York, Bermudian over Bigelowville, 41-0. Littlestown beat Fairfield, 49-13. DeLone Catholic over Hanover, 31-14. Northeastern over New Oxford, 49-0. Spring Grove over Southwestern, 7-0. York Suburban beat Eastern York 35-14. Fourth quarter scores, Redland over Dallastown 27-7, Columbia over Kennedale 36-14, Redland over Mechanicsburg 42-6. It was West York leading Gettysburg 9-7 in the fourth. Also in the fourth, Central York over William Penn 38-18. York Catholic leads Yorkville Tech 41-12. Lancaster Lebanon, final score, Cedar Crest over LS 35-6. Cocalico beats Solanco 14-0. Manheim Central over Garden Spot 50-8. Lancaster Catholic leads, or rather beat Northern Lebanon 35-7. They're going to finish fifth in the Triple A ratings. Anvil Cluna beat Donegal 34-14. And some of the other scores, Warwick over McCaskey 10-0 in fourth quarter. These are all fourth quarter scores. Hempfield over Lebanon 46-26. Wilson over Conestoga Valley 42-21. Manheim Township over Penn Manor 55-0. Elizabethtown over Ephrata 58-3. Elko leads Packway Valley 28-27. Columbia over Kennerdale 36-14.
All right. Well, we will be back here next week. Middletown playoffs, 6:40 with the airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff, Middletown's War Memorial Field. In the meantime, we remind you LVC football tomorrow afternoon at 12:45. And we are going to actually join that game up in State College now, the conclusion of it. They are late in the fourth quarter, 13-10, Central Dauphin leading State College. So we're going to take it up to Brian Kaiser and Eric Thomas for the end of the fourth quarter up in State College. In the meantime, for DeMar Parker and Steve Leedy, John Wilsbach, thank you for tuning in. Middletown victorious over Steel High, 42-7. And you heard it here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
You've been listening to Blue Raider
All right.
Football.
All right, so as soon as this
clip brought to you in part by the Hetrick Center, S&H Screen Printing and Awards, Black Horse Tavern, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, Jack's Auto Sales, Brownstone Cafe, Tim Clouser, Remax Realty Select, DHL, J&J Pizzeria, With Kids in Mind, The Middletown Home, Gingrich Memorials, JD's Junction, Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, Middletown Pharmacy, Michelle's Creations With You in Mind, and Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory. Your home for the best in high school sports is WMSS.